Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Here it is. Swinging a pop-up into shallow right field. This should end. It's second baseman out. Right fielder on. Who's going to get it? And it's the right fielder, Carroll, who ends the ball game. Well, the Red Sox do very little at the plate and fall to the Arizona Diamondbacks for the second straight day. The final, Arizona 4 and Boston 1.
That's how it ended last night. Here on Boston Sports Original and the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network, Joe Castiglione, the Hall of Famer, on the call as the Red Sox continuing the backslide here. It's not been good. Over the last five games, the Red Sox offense, as Joe alluded to there, quiet. Over the last five games, the Red Sox offense is mustering just a meager 2.6 runs per game. How'd that happen? When did the offense start to quiet down? It almost seems like it happened right when Cassis got back, which I don't know how that works. I mean, he's one of your better hitters, and he hit that bomb right when he came back. Since then, from the top on down, even Yoshida's cooled off. Like everybody, it seemed like the offense was really doing its job. When the starting pitching was banged up or inconsistent, when the bullpen was blowing every single game, the offense was there. The offense was keeping you afloat. The offense was keeping you in some of these games, giving you big leads that the bullpen would then go and blow. And now it seems like the offense is just struggling here. And, I mean, listen, you're going against Houston. You're going against Arizona. These are good teams. These are good major league teams here. And you're a good major league team, too. But are you good enough? Seems like the bullpen's fixed whatever's been wrong with them. Not completely. But it's been better. How upset is everyone going to be, Red Sox fans? How upset are you going to be if this team really falls out of it again? Did you think this year was going to be different? I did. I don't know how much different, but I didn't think it was going to be your classic, you know, yearly, annual since 2018 anyway, August meltdown. I didn't think that was coming this year. I don't know why. I talked myself into the idea that Alex Cora had really gotten these guys. He'd gotten to them. He got them all pulling in the same direction. He'd gotten so much out of the starting rotation, who no one expected to be this good this year. And they've sort of fallen back to earth, too, by the way. As much as I love the way the season started for a lot of these guys, many of them have reverted back to some of their career averages. Not Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck's still pitching well. This month he's been not his best month. His ERA has been in the fours, but he gets no run support. The Red Sox haven't won a game that Houck's pitched since mid-July. It's been a long time since they've won a game that he's started, which tells you a lot. He's their best pitcher. And it gets me wondering, what's been missing with this team? Over the first 3 or 4 months, even when there was an injury to a starting pitcher, even when there was offensive contributor going into a slump or a guy going down, Tyler O'Neill, he's back tonight, but Tyler O'Neill's been injured a bunch this year after a really promising start to the year. You know, you've seen Devers have great stretches and then go cold for a little bit. Same with guys like Rafaela. You know, Willy Abreu's been hurt. Yoshida was off to a terrible start and suddenly became the hottest hitter in baseball over the last couple weeks, and now he's, you know, cooling back off too. But what's missing from those first 3 or 4 months? Is it as simple as, well, they didn't really go out and do a lot at the deadline, so the team kind of slagged off like they did, done in the past couple of years? And we remember those years. We remember those deadlines. Xander Bogaerts was here and, you know, Devers and all that, and the Patriots. The Red Sox wouldn't do anything. Chaim Bloom would sort of stand pat or make small minor moves, not counting the 1 year with Schwarber. They would just kind of, you know, little things on the margins. We're not going to go crazy. We're not going to trade for somebody that we're then going to have to commit big money to. Like, why would we do that? Well, because it'll make you better. You might win some games. You might make the playoffs again, John Henry, if that even matters to you anymore. I was wondering about that. Like, you would think making the postseason would be a really important thing for the Red Sox. That's an important thing for the Bruins. It's like the only important thing for the Bruins. Just get in the playoffs. Just get that playoff revenue. Keep the building, you know, keep the lights on in the building an extra couple of weeks. And that's really all the Jacobs care about. They don't care if they win the Stanley Cup. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. We're not going to go crazy here. But just get a nice first-round exit, second-round exit. Get the fans something. Get them in there, you know, in June. Get them in there buying beers, buying pizza, all that stuff, buying sweaters. And, you know, we don't really think we're going to win the Stanley Cup or anything like that, but we'll be good enough to make the playoffs, and that's really all we care about. Do the Red Sox even care about that? Do they even care about playoff revenue? And maybe the way the baseball's set up, maybe it's no need to anymore. You know, like, maybe it's not even worth it. Because if you're the third wild card team, right, you're not playing a home game for who knows how long. Like, you're definitely not playing in the first round. You get to the second round, you know, and then, okay, the first two games, and then finally you get a home game once you get to the division series. And it's just like, does that factor into this? Is that part of this? Do they, sort of, does John Henry look at it and go, I don't know. Like, making the playoffs, does it matter? It should. Not in the sense of gates and selling concessions and all that crap at Fenway Park, but in raising the profile of your team. Having the national audience be watch the Red Sox in a playoff game on you know, Fox or on TBS, wherever they're airing them this year. I don't even know. I'm not expecting the Red Sox to be in it, so I haven't paid close attention. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what they should be shooting for. And I'm shocked that they're not. I'm really shocked that they're not. But if they're sort of throwing in the towel here, if they're throwing in the towel because the trade deadline wasn't enough, I got to tell you, beggars can't be choosers. That's soft. Because whatever you think about Craig Breslow, the bullpen was the most urgent problem on the team. They needed help in the rotation. They needed a right-handed power bat. They needed both of those things. And to address those two things, they traded nobody for James Paxton, who promptly got hurt after like two pretty good starts. They traded for Danny Jansen, who's going to make history next week when he comes. They're doing the makeup game tomorrow. And he was up at bat for the Blue Jays. I didn't even know about this. Jones had to explain this to me the other day. I'm like, what is everyone all excited about Danny Jansen for? This is like what's exciting for the Red Sox now. Oh, Danny Jansen's going to make history. He was either at bat or on deck. I still don't even know the whole story. He was part of like the at bat when the game got suspended. And now he's going to rejoin that game on the other team. And that's, you know, history. No one's ever done that before. Yay. Like, wow. That's pretty cool, guys. Like, awesome.
He should be required to play for Toronto.
He should. Jansen should have to finish his at bat. Was he at bat or was he like on deck?
I'm not
when they suspended
sure.
the game. I think he was at. I think it was during the middle of his at bat when they suspended the game. So someone else is going to have to go up there and finish the at bat. They're starting the game from where it cut off before. They're not like playing a new game. The game didn't get rained out. It just got, you know, suspended and postponed. And now they're going to start it in the doubleheader tomorrow. They're going to start it from there and go forward. And Danny Jansen's going to be on the other team. And that's what qualifies as exciting around here these days, unfortunately, Red Sox. I hate to tell you. But if back to what I was saying. If the team is upset that they didn't do enough at the deadline, I agree they didn't do enough in the rotation. I agree they didn't really get a right-handed power bat. Danny Jansen's a backup catcher, and he can hit a little bit, but not very much. James Paxton, that was a ticking time bomb. I was happy that they got him because he's, you know, not terrible, and they got him for nothing. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to really address the problems in the starting rotation, and starting pitchers flew around at the deadline to all the teams you're competing against. So that was pretty uncool. And if they saw that in the clubhouse and thought, you know, why are we not doing this? I could see them being frustrated by that. But that ignores the fact that Craig Breslow went out there and swung two trades for two late-inning relievers. Now, they haven't really worked out so far, but that's part of it, you know, like... Trades at the deadline don't always work out. A lot of times they don't. Sometimes they do. Baltimore Orioles, ask them. Their trade deadline acquisitions are working out great. Eflin and those, they're working out great. The Royals have had some nice trade deadline pickups here as well. But really, I mean, with the Red Sox, their two guys are, yeah. They've been pretty schmeh so far, if not downright bad. Although things in the pen have gotten better lately, but Sims and Garcia, I mean, I'm sorry, just haven't been really inspiring much confidence. They definitely didn't fix the bullpen. The bullpen was a mess coming out of that All-Star break and the trade deadline, and it didn't get any better. It might have gotten worse. It's leveled out a little bit now. But it's the effort that I'm talking about. They made an effort. They made an effort to go out there and fix it. In the past, they wouldn't even do that. They'd give you a bunch of crap. Well, you know, we got these guys coming off the injured list or something, whatever they used to say. Whatever Sam Kennedy would come out and blather out. Well, you know, Chris Sale's coming back. Like, okay, cool. Can't wait for Chris Sale to come back. By the way, Chris Sale, NL Cy Young leader right now. Or although he may have just gotten passed. Either way, he's in the top two, which is also upsetting. But if that's why they're falling off right now, because they're having another tantrum about you know, not doing enough at the deadline, come on. You guys are right there. And this is a must-win game today, I think. For the Red Sox, this Arizona game is a must-win game. You lose this game and Kansas City wins, you're five games out of that wild card. And I'm sorry, but that is starting to seem insurmountable, even with a month left to go. And even with the schedule getting easier for Boston, and I know it does. You got the White Sox, you got Toronto, you got all these kind of crappy teams coming up here, and that's great. But you still have to make up five games against the team in Kansas City that has not been letting up. They've had a couple of losses scattered in here and there, but so have you. And they are not making it easy on you. Even when you split with Baltimore, they had won five games in a row, Kansas City, and they're not, I mean, just listen, they're a team that took that deadline much more seriously than you did. And that is an unfortunate reality of what's going on right now. I'm excited to announce that Chris Cotillo is going to be joining me next segment from Mass Live. We'll get his insight here into the Red Sox recent swoon, what they can do to sort of pull themselves up out of it, and his take on basically the way these other playoff teams got to where they are. We'll take a look around Major League Baseball and the teams that are basically locked into playoff spots at the moment and see what they did differently from the Boston Red Sox. That's coming up right after Jacob Lasner tells you what's trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, we're back here, Sunday Mass. Reverend Arcan, nice to have you with us here today. We'll be joined in about 6-7 minutes by Chris Cotillo, the great Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. Looking forward to talking with him. What you just heard was from two nights ago. That was Shohei Ohtani and his walk-off grand salami against the Rays. They're playing the Rays, right? I think it was against Tampa, who beat them last night, and I know that because I won some money on that game. But they were not quite so lucky two nights ago, and Ohtani with the big bomb. He hit a home run last night, too. He's ridiculous. And I played that because the playoff picture is starting to round into form here. I think we're getting pretty close to knowing what these playoff teams are going to be and who's going to be where and who's going to be doing what. The Red Sox currently sit 4.5 games back of the Kansas City Royals and the Twins, who are both tied. They have the same record, 72-57. The Twins have the tiebreaker, I guess. I'm not sure how, but they do. The Red Sox are back, both of those teams. The National League wild card teams are the D-backs, the Padres, and the Braves. The Mets are 2.5 games back of the Braves. So they're closer than the Red Sox are. But still on the outside looking in. Which got me wondering. You know, the Dodgers are a team that's locked into their division, locked into the playoffs, basically. They have a 99.9% chance on the ESPN playoff odds of making the playoffs. So I was looking around the playoff picture and thinking, how did these teams get here? Did they all spend their way to the playoffs? Is that really what this was all about? Did they all just throw a bunch of money at their problems, and now here they are making the playoffs? The question in some cases is absolutely yes, but not all of them. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 playoff teams, okay? And of those 12 playoff teams, 5 of them are not in the top 20 in payroll. Sorry, 4 of them are not in the top 20 in payroll. And many more of them are not even in the top 15. So let's just go down the list, okay? In the American League, leading the AL East right now are the New York Yankees, who have the second highest payroll. So they are very clearly a team that is spending money. Then there's the Baltimore Orioles, who are 22nd in payroll. But they're a team that's been so bad for so long that they've amassed all these draft picks and developed all these prospects and now have a very good young team that doesn't cost a lot of money, which is, I think, exactly what the Red Sox are trying to do. It's kind of the Tampa Bay model, you know? Like, that's why Chaim Bloom got the job here. That's why guys like that become so coveted, because ownership looks at him and says, this is what I want. I don't want to write big checks for these players, and then half the time they don't even work out. No. I want young, cost-controlled, high-end talent, which you act like that's just, it's everywhere. Oh, yeah, everybody just grab these 23-year-old all-stars. You know, let's just grab Gunnar Henderson. Yeah, no problem. We'll get all that. It's very, very hard to do that. It's very, very hard to make that work. The Orioles are doing it now, though, so you got to give them credit. In the Central, there are currently 3 potential playoff teams. Cleveland, obviously, and they're 23rd in payroll. And they're an interesting case because they haven't sucked forever and then got a bunch of prospects. Like, they don't spend a lot of money, but they've been able to, coach up a lot of their guys, and they have some good, solid players, and they're making it work. They've been one of the best teams in the American League all year. There's the Minnesota Twins, who, let me, Jacob, without looking it up, between the Cleveland Guardians, Kansas City Royals, and Minnesota Twins, who do you think spends the least amount of money between those three teams?
Probably the Twins.
That's what I would think. The Twins are 19th in payroll. They spend more money on their roster than the Royals and the Guardians. Royals are 20th, Cleveland's 23rd. The Twins are 19th. So all three of those teams, none of them big spenders. All playoff teams, likely all playoff teams, I should say. I don't know for sure that, but it seems like that's the way things are going here. Unless the Red Sox really start turning things around fast. Then over in the West, Seattle's pretty much fallen completely out of it. They're like 8 games back. Just Houston. Houston has the third highest payroll. So of the 6 playoff teams in the American League, 2 of them are in the top 3, and 4 of them are not in the top 15. Okay? Put a pin in that. In the National League, Philadelphia Phillies, 4th highest payroll. Atlanta Braves, 6th highest payroll. LA Dodgers, 5th highest payroll in the league. Then you got your Milwaukee Brewers, who are 21st. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who were in the World Series last year, are 13th. And the San Diego Padres, who had to basically sell the team and get a second mortgage on their on Petco Park there, are 15th. So what does this tell you? It tells me a couple of things. Number one, the top payrolls are not always guaranteed to be the top teams. All right, that goes for the Chicago Cubs, who are 7th, the Texas Rangers, who are 8th, the Blue Jays are 9th, and the Giants are 10th. So in the top 10, there's several teams right there who are not playoff teams this year, and they're spending a good amount of money. The Red Sox, 11th, by the way. But the Yankees, the Astros, all the teams in the top 5, except for the Mets right now, playoff teams, and the Mets are only 2.5 out. I think their playoff odds are down to like 25% or something along those lines, but they're still in it. They're closer than the Red Sox are, and they have the number one payroll. The further you go down, the more you start to see some of these other teams that have gotten hot, or in the case of like Baltimore and some of the other ones, were not necessarily considered big-time, big-market, heavy-spending teams, but were able to, through the course of kind of sucking for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, able to amass a bunch of young prospects and develop them and turn them into a young, good, cost-controlled team. Now, those teams, I feel like, tend to get exposed in the playoffs. You get to the playoffs, you get to that division round, you get to the wild card round even, if in some cases. And these are young guys, and they're just not ready for it. You know, they can't all be the 2001 Marlins with 21-year-old Josh Beckett and 22-year-old Dontrell Willis out there winning the World Series. You don't see that as often anymore. And I feel like that happens a good amount. The Red Sox are sort of in between. The Red Sox want to be like Baltimore. They want to be like how Tampa was for the last 10 years. They want to stop spending big money on big contracts and just develop a bunch of prospects and hold on and hoard all their prospects. That wasn't a mistake, hiring Chaim Bloom, by the way. They didn't do that by accident. They did that because they had a plan, and they thought he'd be the best guy to execute it. After 5 years, he became so unpopular because of the trade deadlines and off seasons and everything, doing exactly what John Henry wanted him to do, except the only thing he didn't do was trade Chris Sale, which, oh, sorry, you didn't trade your best pitcher. Oh, what a bad guy. I'm still defending Chaim Bloom all this time later. But I do think he got a raw deal here. He did exactly what the front office wanted him to. Hoard all the prospects. Don't trade them away. We want a young, cost-controlled team, and the only way to do that is to be drafting high and to hold on to these guys and trade away your good players, get prospects from other teams, keep them here, develop them, and then when they're ready, you bring them up.
Not great.
And they did this already. I mean, it's not like 10 years ago they were doing this exact same thing with Ben Cherington and Dave Dombrowski, who, Dombrowski, he never developed the farm system. Yes, he did. He absolutely did. I think that's instructive here because they did do that. Mookie Betts, okay? Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr. Xander Bogaerts was a little before that, but whatever. Same general idea, you know? Like, these are all the young players who came up roughly around the same time. And then what happened? They all turned 25, 26, wanted to get real paid for real, and they shipped them out of here too. So I'm sorry if I don't really trust what's going on here with these Red Sox. Oh, we don't want to spend money now because we want to bring up these young cost-controlled players. Okay, when does that end? I'll tell you when it ends. It ends when they hit their prime and want to get paid. And then you decide, well, I can't pay you that much. We're going to have to trade you to the Dodgers for Alex Verdugo, whatever the hell it is. You know, like, that's upsetting. And Red Sox fans should be annoyed by that. Because even if you do follow that model, even if you do follow what Baltimore's doing and what Tampa did and all that, and you try and, you know, tank it for a bunch of years and then resume with these good young players and try and make a playoff run there, oftentimes you lose in the playoffs, and then they're just going to get rid of them before they want to get the big payday anyway. So what's the point? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're joined now on the phone by Chris Cotillo from Mass Live, who's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Mr. Cotillo, how you doing, sir?
Good. This is the earliest I've been up in about 3 years.
Hey,
so
all right.
Very exciting.
Very good. Well, you know, it's Sunday Mass. You got to put on your Sunday mm-hmm. best. Good to have you here. The Red Sox now facing a sweep here at the hands of these Arizona Diamondbacks. Seems like, you know, after the break, Chris, that the offense was really carrying the load. Suddenly they've fallen into a big slump here in the last five games. What do you sort of attribute that to, and how do they break out of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good pitching, I think, the last couple days, they faced, you know, Nelson on Friday, who basically shut them down. And then, you know, very quietly, Zach Gallen is, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's been that way for a few years. And the Red Sox saw that firsthand yesterday. You know, he struck out 9. Tristan Casas, we saw strike out, you know, 4 times. So when you're facing elite pitching like they kind of have in the last few days, you know, even they faced Verlander. I know they got to him a little bit the last day in Houston. You know, Blanco's had a really good year. Today they face Merrill Kelly. You know, the Blue Jays, despite not being a good team, have some horses too. So they're in one of those stretches where they're facing, you know, really good pitchers. I think that's part of it. And you know, I think the lineup is in a pretty good place. You see the four lefties at the start. O'Neill comes back today. So kind of, you know, one of those anomalies because they had been so good. And as you said, carrying the team for a couple weeks. But, you know, ultimately, the pitching staff, I think, is still where the fault is. You know, those were winnable games both of the last 2 days. You know, the score doesn't reflect that on Friday, but, you know, the grand slam Winkowski gave up yesterday, a 2-0 game turns into a 4-0 game, you know, because of wild pitches and walks late with Sims and then Bernardino. And that, you know, they put together, you know, started seeing the bullpen a little bit better, but when you're down 4, it's obviously a higher mountain to climb than when you're down 2. So I think the onus is still on the pitching staff. You know, the offense is not going to give you 8 runs a game. I mean, they like had for 3 weeks, but, you know, the pitching staff, whether it be, you know, the rotation or the bullpen, is they have not been able to really line up on most days. I know they did for a couple of days in Houston, but that's still the issue with that team. And it's going to be one that, you know, as these starters tire, as you get a lot of innings out of these guys, basically a full doubleheader tomorrow, a 5-game series against Toronto, and then they go on the road with no off day. Like, the pitching staff's going to be taxed. They already are, and we're just going to see more of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Chris, what was your first year covering the team?
18.
2018. Okay, so you've seen the good amount of what I was just talking about, and certainly some of the ups and downs that have come after the trade deadline over the course of these seasons. After watching this team this year through April, May, June, and July, did you think that August was going to be different this time around? Did you think that they were going to be able to stave off that August slump that they've gone in? Even in the year, even in 2021, when they made the playoffs, they had a rough August. Did you think this was going to be different?
Well, Alex Cora did, because he thought that the pitching was in a much better spot than it had been. You know, they had a pretty good performance from the whole staff in the first half, and then they acquired the reinforcements at the deadline. You know, Garcia, Sims, and Paxton. Basically, to this point, it's almost close to a worst-case scenario on what they've gotten out of those guys. You know, Sims has had some good outings, but the ERA is high. He's had a couple huge meltdowns, which was a problem in Cincinnati for the last few years. Garcia has been good the last 3 times out, but we all saw what it was before that. And then Paxton, you know, through no fault of his own, you know, gave them like 10 or 11 innings before going down. And I just think the ripple effect of the Paxton injury is, you know, we saw it for a week, just in terms of, you know, how much they had to go to the bullpen over those 2 games against Houston, and then, you know, Criswell having to pitch basically coming off the COVID IL that night in Baltimore. They gave up all those runs. Like, you know, people think that if you escape with a win, even though you use seven pitchers, like, well, it was all worth it. But it really, you know, taxes you for a couple of days. And I think since the deadline, the whole month, really, they've been, you know, kind of doing that parade of relievers, a lot of, you know, the tough, shorter outings because Cora's being more aggressive. And so, you know, I kind of thought the pitching would be better than this just because, you know, Andrew Bailey adjusting on the fly, sticking to the philosophy, that type of stuff. But clearly the league is catching up with the philosophy, and the Red Sox are kind of trying to fight it and figure out where they can get, you know, big outs. I think it's taken a little longer than would have anticipated for Slayton to come back. I think that was a huge loss. Hendricks, the same thing. You know, you can't count on him for anything, but he said at the beginning of the year he was targeting August 1st. You know, he's probably not going to be back before September 1st. So it's really kind of that domino effect pitching-wise, and even inconsistency out of the rotation. We saw what Crawford, you know, did with all the homers early in the second half. Pivetta has very quietly had a bad year. Not a lot of people are talking about that, but it's extremely inconsistent over and over and over again. So they were convinced their pitching was in a much better place, that the program was going to be okay, but we've just seen so many guys hit the wall at a bad time. And I think, you know, the couple of injuries, they're not the superstars, but Paxton and Slayton going down, it forced everybody else into different roles, thinned out the depth significantly, and I think they paid the price for a long time because of those.
We're talking with Chris Cotillo from Mass Live. Chris, early in the season, Alex Cora said this, our own Rob Bradford said this as well, that this team is so young and sort of inexperienced and kind of, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed that early on in the year, they didn't know, you know, what they were. They didn't really have any sort of expectations, and they were able to just go out and play because they were just so young and naive and ignorant, just, you know, going out there and having fun out there on the field. It seemed like that was true, you know, like they were really bouncing back. They were very resilient over the course of the season. Does it seem like they still have that aspect to their personality as a team, to their team profile? Or do you think they ever really had that?
Yeah, I mean, they have, you know, they've shown this resilience throughout. I mean, you know, everything, the last road trip, you know, I just find it's the striking thing is how much the conversation changes around them over the course of two or three days in either direction. I think it's deserved because, you know, they ride the high of a good road trip where, you know, they win or they split in Baltimore, win two of three in Houston, you know, going to be feeling good about that. They didn't pick up any ground, but whatever, like it's, you know, one of those like, okay, you know, you're 4-3. That's fine. And come home with this opportunity here and, you know, look terrible for two straight days. It's like, I think the youth and the inexperience, you know, maybe they don't let the lows get to them and there's always a chance of a high around the corner. But I think the opposite of that has been seen too, you know, or if they have a really good trip, the momentum doesn't carry into the homestand. They've been pretty bad here, you know, 4 or 5 games under 500 at Fenway, which is inexcusable for any Red Sox team. I think that's been a big story of the last few years, obviously. So I think it kind of goes both ways where, you know, a veteran team, you know, maybe they're, you know, able to, shake off losses quicker, but this team has not been able to really, you know, go on that, at least of late, you know, that extended run. And we're really back to, you know, what we were talking about in, you know, May and June, where the Red Sox have this in the notes every day, you know, they're 4-4 in their last 8, 10-10 in their last 20, 21-21 in their last 42. You know, it all comes out as a wash because, you know, they have these prolonged stretches of being 500. I know since the All-Star break, they've been under that. But I think it just speaks to, like I said, you know, an off day, like for a veteran team to regroup might be good on Thursday. For this team, it was like all the momentum of Houston, you know, gone as soon as they stepped in here in front of a rocking crowd on a beautiful weekend, you know, like, they should play better in those environments, and so far they haven't.
All right, before we let you go here, Tanner Houck, I was shocked to see this, Chris, but Tanner Houck has not picked up a win since July 11th, and the Red Sox haven't won a game that he's started since July 16th. What is going on with him in these starts? Why does it seem like the whether it's run support or the bullpen melting down or whatever, you know, none of these starters really have great records. What is it specifically with Tanner Houck that seems like the team around them just can't get it together when he's out there?
They're like 10-4 in Cooper Criswell's start. So,
right,
you know, yeah. Washington area somehow. Tar Heel, of course. But I think with Houck, it's just, you know, they really only have been two or three bad outings. You know, he got absolutely rocked against San Diego here. And so that was one where, you know, the onus was on him. There have been a couple other outings where it's gotten away from him. But generally, he's kept them, you know, in games. I know not at the ace level that he showed probably in April or May. You know, kind of one of those anomalies run support wise. He has pitched, you know, deep into games. I think, you know, part of it, and you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me of how many of his starts the bullpen has blown, but you know, he some of it's just, you know, Crawford has a short start ahead of him.
Okay, I know they blew that Rangers game. He went to the seventh inning in that Rangers game, and they blew it in that one. I remember that one specifically. Right. But yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch more, definitely.
But it's, you know, I think it's just all about the depth and the, you know, not enough quality arms and some of the guys they did count on, you know, hitting the wall, like I said. So, you know, win-loss record to me, I think by the Criswell stat, we see that that's not always indicative of the performance. But I think the Red Sox are, you know, happy with how the way Houck has been pitching generally, considering how high his innings total is right now. And, you know, he's still right. We're in the end of August and his ERA is like 3.01. So, you know, it's been, to me, a very, very good year. I think the hype train was so high in the first half, it's almost tough to match that. And he's had a couple of terrible outings, but not a consistent string of them.
No, that's true. All right. Chris Cotillo, Mass Live. Thanks so much for the time today. Thanks for getting up early. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That's Chris Cotillo, Mass Live, joining me here on Sunday Mass. I'll tell you, the Tanner Houck thing, you remember like King Felix in Seattle? He had that Cy Young year where he was like 10 and 11 or 11 and 10, whatever it was, with like an ERA in the twos, and you're like, can this someone please get this guy a win? It's just, it was brutal. And Tanner Houck's not King Felix, obviously, but he's having a good season. And it's indicative, I think, of what's going on here team-wide with this team as they continue to fall further and further away from that wild card. A disappointing outcome here, considering how much excitement there was and how much it seemed like they were on track to really make a good push for this. Now it seems like that's falling further and further away. This is a must-win game today. They have got to win this game today. If they blow it again here and they're 5.5 games back going into next week, I know that the schedule starts getting easier. I mean, it's much easier after this. You got Toronto, Detroit, the Mets, the White Sox. Then it's Baltimore and the Yankees, so that's not easy. But then it's Tampa, Minnesota, Toronto, Tampa. Much easier than what you've had here lately. And I don't know, even with that, 5.5 games, with two teams ahead, I mean, it just seems implausible. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number if you'd like to chime in on the Red Sox. Feel free to do so. When we come back, there's a little bit of news on the Bruins. I don't know if it's news per se, but people have been talking about the Bruins and about their goaltending situation. And I just have one thing to say. Get it done already. We'll get to that next. What are the Bruins waiting for? What is taking so long? I'm serious. Like, what is happening right now? This should have been the most obvious no-brainer signing in the history of Boston Bruins hockey, honestly. Maybe not in the history of Boston Bruins hockey. That history goes back a ways. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you waiting for with this guy? What else do you need to see? What are you playing hardball with? And maybe Swayman's playing hardball with them. That could certainly be the case here, right? Because they deserve a little needling for the way they've treated him over the years, I think. Jim Montgomery was at Bruins Fan Fest in Maine yesterday, which, you know, that's pretty cool. He was part of the Fan Fest in Maine. Jim Montgomery was asked about Swayman. He said, him and I had a great conversation about leading, becoming a leader as part of the Bruins. I don't have anything to do with the contract situation. That's not my job detail. My job is my connection with the players and how we're going to be good this year. And I have no doubt Jeremy will be a Bruin at the start of camp and that we we'll be ready to go. Cam Neely was on, I believe, Rich Schertenlieb's show over on ZLX there earlier on in the week. And he was asked about it. And he said, something will get done. There's no question. Not every negotiation is as smooth as you'd like it. I know our fan base would certainly love to have something done by now, but I'm fully confident that both sides will come to an agreement before too long here. It's already been too long! It's already been too long, Cam! It's already been too long, everybody! Don, Cam, all of you, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? What the hell is going on here? I like some of the moves that the Bruins made this offseason. I think that they've actually been pretty proactive about addressing some of their problems. But holy moly, are you not gonna lock up the goalie? Are you not gonna lock up your goalie? Is that really what this has come to? Is this really you're gonna sit there and play hardball at the table with Jeremy Swayman? Why do you keep doing this? Why can't they just commit to him and be done with it? Even in the playoffs last year. Well, Linus Allmark's got a great record against the... No, 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 no. Leave Swayman in. Leave him in. Don't touch him. And they did, to be fair. All right? They left Swayman in there, and it was good. It worked. They weren't going to beat Florida anyway, but it won the first round, and he was great, and he was really good against the Panthers, too. He was the guy who should have been out there. And it seemed like, they're pulling teeth just to get that last month of the season. There was a legitimate debate going on. Well, Linus has been a little bit better in the month of July. Have we not? Did you not see the last couple of years with Allmark in the playoffs? Did you not see what that looked like? Did you not see how in those moments he shrinks? You got to at least give Swayman a chance, and they gave him a chance, and he was good. It was his first real run being the number one goalie in the playoffs, and he played his ass off. Much better than Allmark ever was, the Bruins in the playoffs. Come on. And I'm not saying he's Tim Thomas. I'm not even saying he's Tuukka Rask yet, okay? I'm just saying, this whole thing needs to be over with. He is someone that I think has earned the benefit of the doubt here. He is someone that has earned this contract that he wants. He is someone that has earned the trust of his teammates, earned the trust of his coach you just heard talking about, being a leader on the team. He's talking about having him being a leader on the team. And you're still at the negotiating table, nickel and diming over random crap. Like, what is this? What is happening right now? Get it done. Stop dinking around and get it done. This is silly. Oh, the negotiation's not going great. So what, are you going to let him walk and stick with the goalie you traded for who had the worst stats in the league last year? What's his name? Kopitar.
Jonas Korpisalo.
Korpisalo, thank you. I was about to say Kopitar. I knew that was wrong. By the way, are you hearing that? Is that because I hit the table? Or is that just coming in my headphones?
No, I hear it. I don't know what that is.
It sounds like I'm at the beach.
It does, yeah.
So like is that going over the air? If it is, I apologize. I banged the table because I'm mad about the Swayman situation, and now it sounds like I'm at Revere Beach, which
maybe
I'm
the waves.
I'm actually not. Maybe I should not be so violent. Maybe I shouldn't be smacking things.
Maybe the Bruins should sign Swayman instead.
Maybe they should. This is Don Sweeney's fault. This is not my fault. I'm only human. Okay, I'm a Bruins fan. I'm emotional. I didn't think hitting a wooden table would cause something like this to happen with the with the sound, and yet here we are. You don't like this? You can blame Cam Neely. You can blame Don Sweeney. What the hell are you waiting for? What is the point of waiting? You just really what you're going to do is make this kid want to leave. All right, you're not going to meet my fine. Then I'm out of here. I am not going to re-sign. I'm going to go explore my options. I'm going to demand a trade. I'm going to do whatever. I wouldn't blame him at all. Swayman doesn't seem like the type of kid who would do that. It doesn't seem like that's his personality. I wouldn't blame him at all. All right? You wouldn't believe in me again with Tuukka when he had his groin ripped off the bone. You still played him against the Islanders. You went with Allmark over me for 2 years. Finally, it's my turn to do it. All of a sudden, though, Allmark's back in the mix, and you ended up sticking with me. And now, after I prove myself and go out there and play well in the playoffs and keep you in that series against the Panthers team, it's head and shoulders better than you were. Now, all of a sudden, you want to get tough with me at the negotiating table? Bleep you guys. I'm out of here. Honestly, I wouldn't blame him one bit. I don't know what this is. I'm going to try hitting the table again and see if it goes away. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we are going to reset on our Patriots conversation. We will be joined by the great Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph, the oldest man in the world. He's been covering the Patriots since the 1920s. That's all coming up in the next hour here on Sunday Service.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.